Welcome again to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today is Mike Gregg. This is another episode of the FFC Weekly Roundup. In this episode, we're going to be previewing the upcoming opening match of the season for Fulham against Norwich City at Craven Cottage. Along with that, we'll be answering your questions once again that you sent to us on the Cottage Talk Facebook page. On top of that, we also have several topics that we'll be discussing as well. Much to get through, but before I do anything, I have to welcome back Mr. Mike Gregg to the show. Mike, how are you doing?
Hey, hi, Russ. Yeah, doing well. I haven't been on the show for a while, so I'd just like to sort of thank yourself and some of the listeners as well who sent me messages. As many will know, I lost my mum about a month ago, and thank you very much for the show you did, which you opened and dedicated it to her. And I'd just like to thank everyone who sent me messages. So that's one of the main reasons I've not been on. That and wedding preparations. But no, it's good to do the show. It's good for the start of the season. I'm raring to go and looking forward to tomorrow and looking forward to doing the show as well.
I'm looking forward to both, my friend. I really am. When you and I talked that we were going to do this show together, I was really excited. And listen, we were happy to do that in memory of your mom, and just wish you all the best, and we're there for you. But it's always good to do a show to kind of keep your mind off of things, and let's do this now. Let's start with what's been going on with Fulham this week. Have to start with the signing of striker Abubakar Kamara. Hopefully I said that correctly, Mike. What are your thoughts when you finally saw the deal come through here for a striker?
Well, we've been after one particular striker all summer by the looks of it. And then we've come along with Kamara, who... various comments online about how much we've spent, but it certainly seems as it's somewhere between £3 and £5 million. And you look at his record, that's quite a lot. But, here's a guy who's, been at Monaco, okay, only played a couple of games in the top league. And last year was part of a promotion-winning team. I had a look at his games that he played, and he seemed to, first half of the season, tended to be sub. Then after Christmas, sort of won his way in the team, scored a good number of goals. And we've all done the YouTube looks and that kind of thing. There's a couple of things I'd just like to mention. So YouTube can can make the worst player in the world look the best player. But, he's the goals I saw, he's finished well, placed the ball. But there was one particular goal he scored, which stood out for me, which was, it was just a back post. Sort of, put it past the keeper type finish. But it was the person with the ball was on the right hand side, and Kamara at the time was sort of middle of the goal, but then he pulled off his player, went back, then went forward, then went back again, and finished. And he did it again in another shot as well. So he has that movement of a striker and looking for space, looking to get in the right position. So fingers crossed we found Saha's a very high benchmark, but he's cost about the equivalent Saha did from 2000. He's come with a record. We hardly know who he is, but he certainly looks fast. And he's going to be that striker. Hopefully, he can get behind defenders. We haven't really had that. We had Martin last year, even Woodrow, Piazon. None of them can get behind the strikers, behind the defenders. They can hold the ball up maybe. So it gives us a different option. And, we needed a striker and, they've delivered. We could arguably need another central one. And from everything I'm hearing, we're after one. I'm sure we'll talk later. There's still a few other areas we need to do. We've still got, plenty of time in the transfer window. But, no, I'm excited to see him. I hope he's, I hope he's as close to fitness as required. And the big question now is... will he be in the team tomorrow or not? But another mention of what the club are doing is, they've signed him on a 4-year contract.
That's right.
With an option of another 12 months. And you look at, I've tweeted something this week, and there's 15 players who have contracts up to 2020 and beyond with options. So there's a real hardcore group in the squad of, 15 players who contracts don't mean much, admittedly, but, they are tied down to this club for that amount of time. So if things go well, then we've got a nice core to go, you know, go forward if we eventually get Premier League, or if things don't work out, then you know, that we can't afford to buy players, then we have still a hardcore who can carry on. So, and they're all going to have value. So that's good work by the team, by the club, that's for sure. But tomorrow, let's wait and see what happens tomorrow.
Yes, let's see if he's included in the starting 11. I'll be curious to see if Savisa starts him right off the bat there, Mike. But you mentioned something that I remember talking to Ryan about, and Ryan mentioned that bringing in this player with pace offers something different than we saw last season, Mike. I think you've already talked about that, the type of striker he's going to be. So definitely want to go back and talk to you about that, because there could be a difference. Ryan was mentioning he could see us playing just slightly differently because of what Kamara could offer. But I also want to ask you, you talked about another striker. We both talked about that we need another type of striker. I still think, Mike, that they need a type of striker like Chris Martin. I'm not talking about Chris Martin. You know what I mean. But I think they need a different type of option to give teams trouble when, say, option A isn't working.
Yeah, so they need that sort of almost, I don't want to say old-fashioned centre forward, because I don't want someone like Smith. But, yeah, Martin, you want someone who can,
right,
you know, is comfortable with their back to the goal, ball to their feet, and can lay it off. You're looking for that kind of striker. And, it just gives you that option later in the game, or even against certain teams, you know, if he's a bit of a bully, to rough up the centre-backs. If there's one thing we lack is maybe just a little bit of bite. I fully expect us to go and find another striker of some kind, be that a purchase or another loan. But all indications are is that Kamara has been bought as the main striker, so we'll be looking at someone else. So it would be nice, I think, to get maybe somebody around about the late 20s, even early 30s. I know that breaks rules that apparently we have, but someone with a real experience can come on maybe for the last 20 minutes and help us out. So it will be interesting to see how we change our style now, because
right,
we've had the busy bee midfielders and wingers that I call them, and now we're going to have someone where we're going to be looking to slot the ball through
exactly
for a player to run onto. So it's going to be one of the interesting things tomorrow is, you know, we've kept 95% of last year's squad, really. So are we going to change, or is it just going to be a continuation of last year, or has Jokanović tweaked it in any way? So this is what is exciting about a new season. You get to see new players, brackets, not enough for many, but, you know, yeah. I actually prefer the stability that, you know, I'm going to see everyone from last season, bar Malone, Parker and Martin, really. And I expect more of the same. And people should remember, there's a lot of chit-chat on the forums and on Twitter, and we're not as strong. And, okay, man for man, you can look at it and just say we're a couple of players short. But let's remember that the vast majority of that team or squad tomorrow were the best team in the league from Christmas onwards last year.
Absolutely.
And, you know, yes, we didn't have many injuries, but let's remember what we were doing last year. And it was really, really good football, praised by everyone, fans and managers of oppositions. And we just need to hit the ground running tomorrow. And the fact that we've kept the vast majority of the team or brought others back should help in that regard.
Totally, Mike. You know, I've made the argument that this continuity that we're going to have could be key to our season, and now you just have to add to it. While they brought in a few players, the window's still open. They can still add to it, Mike. But I think as a Fulham supporter myself, I'm thinking, you know, we have something to build on now. And if we lost some of our key players, like a Kearney, like a Sessegnon, or even like a McDonald, or even a Luko, I think we would take a step back. Well, we've kept them all intact, and that to me is something to look forward to build on. And we should expect, if this team gets to the end of the transfer window the way it is constituted right now with a couple of additions, Mike, we should expect this team to contend for for playoffs at the minimum, and I'm on record as predicting second for automatic promotion, but it should be right up the top. We should be there because we have the team, but that's on paper. We have to see them executed now. All right, my friend, let's move on. Let's talk about a departure. Ragnar Sigurdsson leaves Fulham on loan to Rubin Kazan on a season-long loan. Center back leaves. I have a feeling one has to be coming in, Mike. What are your thoughts about Sigurdsson leaving and my thoughts that potentially another one has to come in, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think they would have let him go unless they had, you know, pretty much decided on someone coming in. Again, from reports, he was one of the highest wage earners at the club. So that's going to free up money for hopefully a decent loan. I mean, you're looking for someone to, a centre-back, to come in and probably replace Ream, if you look at it that way. And Ream becomes the backup. And so you have Ream and Maddle, which are, you know, even if those two started a game, I wouldn't be, you know, that depressed by it. So, yeah, we certainly need to go out and get another centre-back, a left-footed one, preferably, and someone who's comfortable on the ball. But, yeah, it's a pity about Sigurdsson, but as I say many times, do not buy a player on the basis of a summer tournament's performance. And really, that's
you're proven right, Mike.
Yeah, that's what we did last You know, and he scored against England. You know, I mean, how hard is that? So it's hardly a ringing endorsement, is it? But I remember last year we signed him, and there were many people going, you know, yeah, that's a decent signing. He looked really good, and so, you know, we spent a lot of money on him as well, and it just never worked. He just never looked comfortable at all, and you know, he was in and out of the team, and every time he came back in, you thought, oh, come on, this is your go, this is it. I can't remember the home game. He got subbed after 20 minutes. Maybe an injury, or maybe Salvisa just decided, no, I'll take him out of the firing line. But good luck to him. He's gone back to Russia, and maybe the football there is going to be easier for him. But he just, yeah, it was just a bad, bad signing all round. That would be the scouts. That would be the stats. That would be, you know, just everything wrong about it. There's no plus points from that signing last year, none at all. And but when you look back last year, 14 signings, he was the worst one. That's not a bad record, really.
No, it's not, Mike. And if I can remember correctly, I want to say it was the Derby County match that he played very poorly in.
Possibly,
Yeah, and it just didn't work. He never jumped either, Mike. I found that very interesting. He was always flat-footed.
Very, very flat-footed for a centre-back. But he just wasn't that. I think we all wanted Hangland. That's what we wanted. Oh, here he is. We're getting a Scandinavian coming to us. Yeah, he's going to be a carbon copy. And in fact, he turned out to be more like Senderos in some ways. So, let's move on. Let's move on to talk about Ragnar
Sigurdsson. Let's talk about something interesting, Mike. I'm a big fan of this, the away kit. So I actually put up a poll on the Cottage Talk Twitter page because I was curious if fans agree with me. I had 286 votes, and the question was, which Fulham kit do you prefer, home or away? Away got 81%, and home got 19%. I really like the away kit, Mike. I prefer it. What are your thoughts about the away kit compared to the home kit?
Well, first of all, I'll say I like the home kit. And
I do too.
Yeah, it's nice and simple. We could talk all day about the sponsor and the pros and cons of that, but in the end, the kit looks nice, and I've seen people moan, oh, it's too plain, but I prefer that. You know, it doesn't have free slashes on it from Adidas and all that kind of garbage. So, like that kit, but I'm a sucker for a black away kit, I have to say, and we've had some really good ones in the past. There's a Betfair one, which was one of my favourites. But I saw this kit, I have to say, I was like a little kid. I saw this kit. I was early finish at work on the same day it was released. I went to the shop, tried it on, bought it, and wore it for the rest of the evening. So, it is. It's top notch, this kit, and it fits well. And for me, you know, that's good. Usually I have to go for an extra large, but went for a large and it was
Nice.
fine. And yeah, so it's a really, really nice kit. I hope we have enough times that we get to wear it away from home. And it's certainly going to be my go-to top for this coming season. And it looks good with the white sponsorship as well. You know, that all fits in. And well done to the club on selecting that particular kit to go with.
I really like the kit, Mike. You've already mentioned this. I haven't gotten your opinion on it. So let's talk about the main sponsor here.
Well, whether the sponsor was delayed, whether Florida decided to pull out, you get all these rumors, everyone's saying all this, that, and the other. All I know is that the club told the Supporters Trust in June that the kit would come out the week before the first home game, the friendly, which it did. The spot I've seen pictures of the another sponsor on a kit. Whether that fell through, who knows? Whether it was a test to see what it looked like, I don't know. But we've ended up with Grosvenor, and it's a betting firm, a casino. There's some people don't like that. The fact is, it's the Sky Bet Championship. Over half the teams are sponsored in it by money-related, gambling-related sponsors. And in the end, Fulham have had a lot of criticism from fans about not getting the best out of their sponsors and, using the club's heritage and that type of thing. And I think Grosvenor goes well with, being a London-based organisation, Fulham. It has a sort of synergy that works quite well. And this is all part of, bringing in, I can never say his last name, but Casper, the finance guy. His job was to bring in good brands to be associated with Fulham. And you would have to say that this is, looks a good brand. I could argue about the logo, whether the circle should be on it or it should just be the lettering. But if they're paying us enough, then it's got to be a good thing. And we've seen today and another sponsor added.
That's right.
The shorts last week had a sponsor on it. So up to last season, the end of last season, having spoken to people at the club, the policy was always never to have more than one sponsor on the kit. But that's certainly changed, and it's
It's
all part
changed.
of the reality. It's part of the reality about it's raising money and bringing money into the club, and we're going down this route that other teams within the league have done. Whether we go to sponsoring a half time or a second half substitution like Huddersfield do, who knows? But you have to be there at Huddersfield to understand that one, really. But they sponsor anything at that club. But yeah, no, I'm okay with it. I don't have a big issue with it, quite frankly. The gambling is, it's in your face all the time on TV if you watch sport, and it's just part of life. I mean, if we go down the route of getting rid of it like we've done with cigarette advertising, then so be it. But that has to be a political decision in some ways, doesn't it?
Yeah, listen, it's interesting, Mike. I'm glad that we're talking about this because, as you mentioned, we now have another sponsor that actually we just learned about today. It's the global partnership with Konami. And as you mentioned, Konami, their game, their video game is going to be logo of it. It's going to be on the back of the shirt. So this is also not just about the video game, this association with the video game for Fulham, but it's also going to be a shirt sponsor for the club on the back of the shirt, and then it's actually going to be on the front of the youth shirt. So what are your thoughts about this partnership with Konami?
Well, first of all, I mean, we're a championship club, aren't we? I mean, these kind of sponsors usually go to the Premier League or La Liga, and they will do as well. They'll be on other team shirts. But I think the important thing is that it's going to be associated with the under 18. So if it's more money in to help that side of the club and
The way
it's
I
going to
look
be on the
at
back of the shirt,
it.
yeah, just so be it. And, it's a major corporation. Okay, it's not FIFA. I've seen people, oh, it's FIFA. It's not FIFA's the best game, not PES, and all this kind of stuff. But again, it's money into the club, helps us with
Exactly.
the finances, helps us with paying for the conveyor belt of youngsters who are coming through, then it has to be seen as a good thing and the reality of modern day football and sponsorship.
That's the way I look at it, Mike. You know, if the money comes in and helps us with a club, why not have another sponsor? I understand that some supporters don't want to see additional sponsorship on the shirt. I get that. But if it helps us in the long run, I'm not against it. But I do understand if some have some issues with it. It makes sense, Mike. You know, I understand people that are traditional. I respect that. Listen, I'm a fan of the Boston Red Sox. You're a fan of the New York Mets. You know about traditions. And there are certain things, you know, the Boston Red Sox uniform has stayed pretty much intact, like the New York Yankees, for years. But sometimes, you know, there are going to be things that they're going to do that you're not going to like. If you go to Fenway Park, you're going to notice signage everywhere. That's changed. That's the modern game of baseball. And we're seeing that in football as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, the thing is, people have to remember, you know, they're seeing lots of money changing hands for players, as we've seen with Neymar, haven't we? I mean, silly amounts of money, £200 million. I mean, our income this year will be in the region of maybe £28 million, you know, before transfers, that kind of stuff. So if you can sign a deal with Grosvenor, which is hopefully, you know, at least seven figures, £1 million maybe, if we're lucky, you know, you're talking about something that's you know, almost 3% of your turnover. So, you know, people need to realize that £1 million here, £500,000 here in sponsorship, it could make the difference signing that player or keeping that youngster on for another 2 years of his development. And, you know, as long as they don't water it down too much, as I say, the club has said they want to make sure that the deals they do are with top quality brands. At the moment, I would say they're keeping to that. You know, as long as we don't go down the route of, you know, something like Poundland in the UK, you know, something really cheap and cheery. We don't want to go down that route. So, I'm fine with it at the moment because I'm someone who understands it's the reality of the level we're at and we need to bring that money in.
That's right. As long as the club is reinvesting it, Mike, I don't have a problem with it. It's the reality of the football world right now. And that's why you're seeing what you're seeing right now. And as long as Fulham do everything that they can, the money that they have, I have no issue with the extra sponsorship that comes in. All right, Mike, let's now move on. Let's now ask Mike. It's questions for you. That there's, I believe, one or two that involves me as well, but I put on the Cars Talk Facebook page, ask the co-host, and you're the co-host, so here we go. Let's start with Colin Forknow. I believe Colin's question involves the striker position. If you were the manager, who would you choose to start and which strikers would you go for in the window? I think he's talking specifically about the striker position, Mike. So you've already talked a little bit about striker. So who would you start tomorrow at striker? And also, who do you want as a striker? You talked about a type, but is there a specific name that you'd like to see at Fulham?
Well, I mean, it's difficult with the way we play. So if you say we play three up front, then you could argue you've got three strikers. Or if it's just that one main position in the middle, which I think we all say that is the main striker, then tomorrow, as long as he's fit, I would and ready to go, I would go with Kamara. If he's not quite match fit and he doesn't feel he's ready to start, then as the central player, I would still go with Piazon. Although last season, it always seemed to be Aiti put in there. They put Piazon on the left and Aluko on the right. But I've always felt Piazon would be a better player, hold-up player in the middle. But
I agree.
That's the way I would go with it. I wouldn't start with Woodrow. I'm sorry. I just don't think he's good enough. But okay. I would go with Piazon. As for someone to get,
I'm very curious who you would want to bring to the club. I'm really curious about this.
Well, I mean, it's a difficult one. I mean, I still think we should have got Nugent in January. I still think that. And
he's done a decent job at Derby County, by the way.
He has. And I don't think there's no chance of us getting him off Derby, I don't think. They've made their sales and he's going to stay there. But it's that kind of player. So, you know, I said about the 30 plus mark. knows the championship, and you know, I would have been happy with him as that sort of secondary striker. So that's what I think we need to be looking at, is that kind of player. Who they are within the championship, I'd have to spend more time really having a look at. But it was an interesting meeting we had at the club the other week, and you sort of learned that they had a list of their targets, and none of them had moved yet. You know, they had like 10 strikers listed, and none of them had moved. And the feeling was that strikers really aren't going to start moving that much until maybe a week or two from the end of the transfer window. So, yeah, so who knows, we'll see then. But, yeah, I mean, it's that kind of player. You know, if the listeners want to send in ideas on that type of player, then fine. But, yeah, for me, someone in the Nugent mould would be perfect for us.
Mike, I've said this, and again, it's a different type of striker, but I've said, and I know he's old, but I would say Glenn Murray, 33, 34 years old, can still score goals. That's my pick. I know it's older, but someone that maybe can do a job for you, would that be the worst thing in the world?
No, it wouldn't be the worst thing. And as long as these players come along and understand that, you know, they're probably not going to be the main man. I mean, Jerome, you know, we were linked with him, and then... Yeah. And we're told he's not coming. And again, he would be a different kind of option. I think it's good to have a tight little squad. If you're going to have options somewhere, then strikers may be the best place, because, you know, taking form and everything into account. But you know, again, that's what we're looking at. We're both saying that kind of championship, you know, bigger or sort of, you know, experience, central strike. So, Yeah, but I mean, Martin was proven, wasn't he?
He
you
was.
Know, and that didn't exactly work out brilliantly, even though some of us still felt that, you know, he had an important role to play, you know, if he hadn't gone off on a strop. But, yeah, I mean, it's one of those odd things. I mean, look at how much some of these teams are paying. I mean, look at the guy from West Ham, Fletcher, 6 million, yeah. Young guy, 22. He hasn't scored a goal above... you know, League One. And, you know, it's silly money for these strikers. So the club have to be a bit clever on this one. I expect one to come in the next couple of weeks.
I hope you're right, my friend, because I think that they need another option. All right. Our friend Roger in Spain, Roger Lewis, here's his question for you, Mike. Does Mike feel that Slavica will go with the same formation as last season, or in certain games go for 5-3-2/3-5-2?
No. I think we expected that last year, didn't we? We expected him to stop and change and move things around and be. But he was quite, you know, he started the season a particular way and then changed it, and that found the winning formula. So I really don't expect him to do it. The only reason he will change it is if things don't work out. Otherwise, it's going to be the same sort of 4-3-3, 4-1-2-3, whatever you want to call it. Some call it even 4-5-1, but I don't see us changing to that. We're talking about needing more centre-backs, so
I know.
At the moment, just starting two is going to be an issue, let alone three. But, yeah, I mean, if he went that way, you know, McDonald almost, sometimes we almost play with three at the back anyway, the way McDonald drops and the two full-backs push on. And if it's going to be Fredrickson session on this season, then they're going to push on even more, I suspect.
Sure.
So we might see it by default.
Okay. Very interesting. All right. I've got a question from Colm Bugler. Who does he think Norwood was brought in as cover for, Johansson or Kearney? Interesting question, Mike.
Well, having watched him, I mean, I've seen him play for Brighton, but, you know, it's one of those things, unless a player has a standout performance, you don't really recognise him. You're looking at your own players most of the time. But he's, you know, he's played a lot of games in the Championship. Watched him last week, very, very tidy. Yeah, he made a few mistakes, gave the ball away a few times. Quite mobile. But I think he could fit in. He doesn't have the physicality of somebody who can sit deep. And it looks like Cisse would be that player. But I could see him doing sort of what McDonald does, which is, you know, he gets the ball and then looks for the player, passes it around. So could he play as forward as Kearney or Johansson. He probably could do, but I don't see him having the same mobility, the same kind of running. He's much more. He looks more to me as someone who gets the ball and then passes it instead of gets it and is looking to go forward with the ball. So yes, he could, but there'd be limitations, I think. But I think
Okay.
it's a good signing. Very good signing, really.
I remember you tweeting that out while you were there, Mike, that you were impressed by him, and I believe also Cisse.
Yeah, I mean he's not as big as say Diop, but then who is? But he has that. You can see that he is a defensive midfielder. Certainly gets the tackle in. I'm not sure how good he is with the ball at his feet yet. Didn't see enough of that, but certainly has strength and a little bit of pace about him as well. So again, a useful signing and. Hopefully we'll see him play enough games, going forward, so that he can. The important thing with having Norwood and Cisse is if they can come in and play more games than the reserves did last year, then that's going to take the pressure off of Cairney, Johansson, and McDonald. Who, let's be honest, you look at the end of last season, we failed in the playoffs, and we can talk about why we failed in the playoffs another time. But one of the reasons given is, or I think, is we just ran out of steam, and that's why you needed to bring in support for those three players, and these
Makes
two can offer
sense.
that.
It
Yeah.
makes sense, Mike. I'm glad that you brought that up because I love watching the three of them play, the continuity between the three of them. But they probably needed help at certain parts of the second half of last season. They were probably tiring out.
Yeah, they were. I mean, certainly. Johansson was carrying what looks like an injury for a little while, and
I remember the
he
Huddersfield Town match.
yeah. So there were certain games where he should have been rested, but because we were playing catch up, and it wasn't until the last few games where we finally got over the sixth place into sixth place and ahead of Leeds. We could never rest them. We couldn't take our foot off the gas at any moment. So yeah, hopefully this will give him. I will say Johansson had lots of running last week, so he looked up to speed, which is good because I think when he performs, we perform. McDonald and Cairney, they're very important, but so I looked back over the man and the match results I did last season and the individual games and how he scored, and it did seem to me that the real big performances when he played really well was when we as a team got the best results. So he's an important player, Johansson.
He is, Mike. I'm glad that you brought it up that way. All right. Here's a question from Mark Anthony Cutler. I think we've talked a good amount about the striker position, but he brings this to the table for you and I. Do Mike and yourself, Russ, think we would benefit from playing the same strikerless system we used after Martin's Norwich sending off, or do you think a target man is more important? Thoughts, Mike?
Well, if he's taken the Norwich game as an individual result, then yes, we played better when he got sent off. But I always felt when we had game, I certainly think the Reading away playoff game when we didn't start Martin. I remember tweeting during the game that we were almost playing 4-6-0. We had no outlet, so. You might think Aiti, Cabano, Aluko, Piazon, as a three, any of those combination of those three up front is a good way to go. I think you can do it for a game or two here and there, but in the end, you need a focal point. You need somebody who is a main striker, and none of those guys fit that bill. And it's for me when you go to a game, certainly an away game, and you sit up high, and you look at it as when we have that kind of lineup, we don't look as good. So we need a striker. I would don't want us to play false nines or anything like that. Just need a main man in the middle whose job description is striker, not glorified attacking midfielder.
It's a great point, Mike, and I think that's why Kamara's with us right now, to be
Yeah, exactly.
that striker. And listen, you and I are already talking about another option. I agree with that because I think you should have different types of strikers. When plan A is running out of steam, then you bring in plan B. And that's why I'm hoping that another striker comes in. I agree with you. I think they will have another option, a different type of option. I don't want the same option as Kamara. I want a different type of option to give us a variety. And then you can always play this system without the basically the striker in certain situations. But like you said, Mike, I think over a course of time, it gets found out. And then we're stuck because this is how you play. And that's why I think if you have variety, you will always have an option. All right, Mike, I have one final topic, a very interesting one for you. It involves your wedding. It's from Richard Bamber. This is for you, Mike. Will your wedding day, first dance be, can't take my eyes off of you?
No, that was vetoed, unfortunately. And no, it isn't. Funny enough, we have chosen our song just yesterday, but no, it won't be.
Is it a secret?
It is at the moment, yeah.
Okay.
I can't mention it at the moment. No, it won't be. I have sneaked the Fulham badge onto the wedding cake, though. So I aim to tweet that photo out if she allows me to tweet on the day, which she says she won't.
That's great, Mike. Just for the record, you know I'm a huge New England Patriots fan, and the Patriots logo was part of my wedding. It was. I snuck that into, so I get that. I totally understand why you're doing that. All right. All right, my friend, before we preview this match, let's talk about your survey, which I always like. I participated. Let's start with the main prediction for Fulham. What were the results here?
Well, we had over 500 responses, and I think I only had it open for about 3 days, so that was good. Participants, about 85% from UK and Ireland, 15% from overseas, so that was good. And it all sort of matches with last year, but the interesting differences I've already sort of tweeted out was that the age ranges, when the question is asked, do you want to go up as champions or via the playoffs, how would you prefer to win promotion? Overall, 82% want to be champions, so...
You know, I'm there with good. Them.
and just with, the rest just want to would go through via playoffs. It's very similar to last year.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing I found, I drilled down in the, and it was basically as you get older, you don't want the playoffs. You just want to go up as champions. So
under 20s,
it's 65% would go up as champions. 35% want to go off as playoffs. And then over 50, which I now fall into, only 7% of us want to go through via playoffs. So we can't be arsed. We don't want another 3 weeks of anything. We just want to go up as champions. So so that was interesting. Main position where everyone seems to think we're finished. Almost 30% think we're finished second. The basis being that most think Borough are going to be the champions, and 70% of fans think Borough are going to go up as champions. So, position we finish at second place, 30%, fourth, 20%, fifth, 14%, third, 11%, and top 10%. But the main thing out of that is that over 85% think we're going to be in the top five somewhere.
Wow.
So a lot of confidence going into this season. But and then, as I say, Borough are easily the team that most think will win.
Interesting.
Surprisingly for me, Villa.
I had Sheffield Wednesday, Mike, me personally.
Yeah, and so did I, actually.
Well,
I don't think Borough are going to win. Yeah. No, I just think Wednesday will. But it's interesting. Wednesday... they've hardly done anything in the transfer market.
That's right.
They blew their budget last year, so clearly they're trying to, establish what they had last year into this one. But going on a couple of Wednesday things that I've looked at, their heads are down. And the worst thing about Wednesday is they're charging the most obscene prices to sit and watch them as well. So,
That's
Yeah, but surprisingly for me, Villa high up in the poll as well. I still don't think Villa, with the slowest centre backs in the world, are going to be anywhere. So, but anyway, I suppose that's the manager. Teams to get relegated, vast majority going with Millwall and Burton. And then you could spin a coin between Bolton and QPR. I'm not sure QPR are going to get relegated, but I think that's more wishful thinking.
I don't see that either, Mike. It's funny because Ryan mentioned that to me. His prediction had QPR, and that made me happy. But I actually have Bolton, Burton Albion, and Millwall. Those are my three.
Yeah, exactly. I'd go with that. Bolton are struggling to field a team. Burton, you know, they punched above their weight last year, thanks to a couple of loanees, as we know. And Millwall, you know, just financially, can they cope? So it'll be interesting to see where they go. And sort of, you know, going further down, who's going to win the playoffs? Where Fulham are in it, we'll win it. I did a couple of things on, you know, what did you enjoy last year and what you're looking forward to? And I tweeted those out as word clouds. What's everyone looking for this season? Promotion. That's the word that was used the most. And last year it was the style of play. That's what people seem to enjoy. I'd have to agree with that. You know, we didn't go up. That was disappointing. But the football we played at times was excellent. And really, last couple of questions. Best signing of summer. 40% say Callis. You know, he's a known player to us. We expect him to do just as well. And will Jokanović last the season? And, you know, despite some people, oh, he's going to walk, he's unhappy, blah, blah, blah. 90% of fans think he's going to stay for the whole season. So, all in all, I'm going to be publishing all of the results, even the Premier League questions I asked, which produced some interesting things. Again, an age bit. The older you get, the more fans think Chelsea will do well. If you're younger, you don't really rate Chelsea. It's a bit odd, but anyway, considering what they did last year. But just like to thank everyone who's listening who took part. It's always interesting. And the results hopefully will be on. It won't be on Viva El Fulham this year. It might be on Hammy End.
Oh, okay.
And, because I'm having a few problems with that site, Viva, at the moment. But Dan at Hammy End said I can put all the data on there. So that'll probably go up over the next day or two.
Okay. Before we move on, I haven't gotten your prediction for the season. What's your prediction? I predicted second. Being a little bold here. How about yourself?
Oh, I could do a David, couldn't I? And sit on the fence.
Please don't do that.
I think we're probably going to be fourth or fifth.
Okay.
Will depend on how we start. But, I just think the way we play leaves ourselves open a bit. Yes, we were the best team second half of last year. But over the season, it's going to be as good. But, yeah, we're qualified for the playoffs, but fourth or fifth.
Okay. Very good there, my friend. All right. Let's now start our preview. Let's start with some team news. I'm going to read some quotes from Savica from his presser today, and we'll talk about it. And then I'll just share some information that James Kent told me yesterday about Norwich City to you and get your thoughts on that. And then we'll get right into our preview of this upcoming opener for Fulham. Let's start with the quotes. This is a couple hours ago by the time we're recording this. Here's a quote. It starts with talking about Abubakar Kamara. This is from Savisa. Quote, Kamara is a young player who has shown great ambition. He's strong, fast, and will be an important player. Here's some more quotes from Savisa. What's important is to play at our highest level now and pick up 3 points tomorrow. Our final target is promotion. Then he has this about players available and not available. There's one notable not available. That's Marcus Bettinelli. He says Marcus Bettinelli has a muscle problem and will be out for tomorrow's game. Everybody else will be available. That's huge news, Mike. As you can imagine. Then a little comment about Norwich. Quote, Norwich is a quality team, but we're playing in our stadium in front of our fans. We are very motivated. And then he has one other thing to say. Last season is last season. The playoffs are in the past. I'm just looking at the present and the future. All right, Mike, those are quotes from Slavisa from his presser earlier. The one thing that stands out to me is that Marcus Bettinelli will not be our goalkeeper tomorrow. That's going to make things interesting because I'm assuming it's going to be David Button. And then also, the bigger thing for me, that's huge news, is the players that are going to be available. I'm thinking of Tom Kearney, Kevin McDonald, and Neeskens Cabano. So thoughts on what I shared from Slavisa's presser here. That's on the Fulham Football Club Twitter page.
Yeah, no, I've been able to dig out a couple of the press guys who were there. And yeah, I mean, the main points for me were on Kamara, who, you know, his comments were very positive. You know, he's a young player, great ambition, strong and fast, and we expect him to be an important player. So, you know, given the negativity we had after last week's game with his post-match comments, you know, he's come out and supported this player, you know, and we don't know if it was his signing, whether it's stats, scouts, you know, whoever. But he seemed to speak quite positively of him, saying he's a player who can attack the space. And yeah, he's going to be important. So he's had him in training for a few days. And so that's good to hear. There's no sort of negativity, no sort of, you know, we'll have to see what we can do with him, or I don't know him, anything like that. So that's good. Negative side, obviously, is Bettinelli injury. He went off last week. And I said at the time, I thought it might be his hamstring or something. So that's disappointing. But then again, we still don't really know who would have been number one tomorrow. So it might have always been Button, no matter what. And so we will have to, some will say endure, but I will say we will have to support Button tomorrow. He's we've lost confidence in him as fans. Certainly players did at the Derby game. There were some boos for him last week, which were outrageous. And tomorrow's the first game of the season. And
get behind
we
him.
Not...
Please get behind
yeah,
this
guy. Absolutely. He's going to make a mistake, like every player on the pitch will make a mistake tomorrow. A bad pass, a bad tackle, mistimed header, whatever. He's a goalkeeper. It's heightened even more. But if you get on his back within the first 5-10 minutes, then it's the road to nowhere, really, for us then. You know,
yeah.
We've got to back him. And of course, the good news to finish with is that, yes, apart with only one injury, then the guys who were missing last week are available. Let's hope they're 100% or as close to being 100% fit. And it will be interesting to see what team he puts out tomorrow. I'm hoping last week was precautionary for McDonald. McDonald is key to the way we build up from the back. And Cabano, I'm not as worried about. And obviously Kearney, being club captain, and such a high performer last year, we want him back kicking off the season straight away.
Absolutely, Mike. And getting back to Button, listen, this is an interesting situation. I've already just said, get behind him. This is a confidence player. If his confidence is low, it's going to affect everyone. Get behind him. Just support him. I heard about all the negativity towards him in the final friendly, Mike, and I just disagree with it. Here's a player who's struggling. Get behind him, support him, and you might be surprised of how he plays if you get behind him. So that's just my advice. It sounds like you agree with me.
Yeah, I mean, there's you know, we're just shooting ourselves in the foot tomorrow if we, as fans, end up booing him. You know, I've had someone say, oh, I don't like him, and, you know, I'm not going to boo him, and I'm not going to clap him, I just won't do anything. Well, that's the best thing to do. If you don't like the guy, then just, you know, be quiet and support everyone else if you're not willing to support him, but don't be negative on him. We do have a trait at Craven Cottage of getting on the backs of young players, and then also singling out certain other players during games. And it's I wish that would go away, really. You know, yes, rant and rave on Twitter or on a forum or in the pub after the game, but during the game, you have to support the players.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, Mike. All right. Like I mentioned before, we talk about key players for tomorrow for Fulham. We're recording this on Friday. The match is on Saturday. Just want to mention some of the things that James Kent shared with me. Again, brand new manager Daniel Farke comes from Borussia Dortmund too, and their style of play has completely changed. It's going to be a pressing style. Similar to Fulham, they're going to want to press. They're going to want to control possession. So think of it that way. It's going to be two teams that want to possess the ball. going into the match, they're dealing with some players that one definitely won't be available, and that's Stephen Naismith, the one player that he said is that you really should be looking at that's not going to be available is Alex Pritchard. He actually, James believes that Alex Pritchard could be one of the players of the season. And I obviously mentioned Tom Garrity as someone that I think could be part of the season, but James really believes that for them, it's really about Pritchard. So he reportedly is not going to be available along with Tim Klose. They're also dealing with some injuries. The manager in his presser, Daniel Farke, also said that Wes Houlihan could be on the bench. They're dealing with injuries like Fulmar, which is interesting, Mike. But I just want to share that information with you. Now let's look forward to Fulham. Who are your key players tomorrow for Fulham to win this match?
Well, one we've just been talking about, which is Button. Sure. This is his chance to reset his career at Fulham, really, in some ways. It's he lost his place last year and for the run-in, and now's his chance to show what he can do. Other key players are the usual ones from last year, oddly enough. You know, it's going to be McDonald and Kearney, really, the spine of the team. And so for us to get going, McDonald has to be on it straight away. And Kearney, let's hope the injury was nothing that serious, and he can recapture the form which he displayed second half of last year. And of course, the last one, it will be whoever plays in that central half. It's Kamara. Let's hope he can perform to a level that we're all happy with, and we can get the season going straight away. But the usual ones, Button, the goalkeeper, McDonald, and Kearney for me.
Okay, excellent. And let's now talk about what Fulham need to do to win this match. What's interesting about this team, Mike, number one, they had a very good preseason. They're undefeated in the preseason. New style, like I mentioned, James was mentioning that they've been playing a good amount of three at the back, so that's something to consider as well. If you're Slavisa, what's your strategy against this team that has a new manager, many new players? So what would be your strategy to win this match?
Well, I think we saw last year, apart from a couple of games, Ipswich at home, for example, we played pretty much the same tactics, formation, in every game. We didn't chop and change to play against teams. So although we will have scouted them, they will have changed the way they played from last year. Hopefully they're well briefed on what to expect. But I think it's a case of, as we go out, we get the ball on the floor, and so will they, by the sounds of it. So is it going to end up like like the teams we play when they keep the ball as well? Will we press them really hard at the back? Are they going to crumble, say, like Reading did last year at home? So it will be an interesting, hopefully a nice, interesting game of football to watch. Yep. As well. Long ball hoof options available to anyone. But I expect it to be us. We've got to dictate the game.
Absolutely.
And get the momentum. The thing we didn't do last year in some games at the beginning, didn't we go something like three quarters of the season with only scoring one goal in the first half hour or something stupid like that? If there's an improvement to be made, it's to get out the starting blocks quicker and try and get an early goal a bit more often, so we're not playing catch up all the time. But it's our style. I'm not going to worry too much about other teams. It's we will face teams of all different systems this year, but as long as we have one that works, then really it's up to the other team to adjust theirs to ours.
Okay, so for you, it's really just dictate the play, take it to them, and let them react to us. And I'm not going to disagree with you there, my friend. All right, this is going to be interesting. Starting 11. What's your starting 11, Mike?
Okay, so I'll go with the starting 11 in that everyone is fit to play. And so in some ways, it almost picks itself. It's going to be Button in goal. Fullbacks will be Fredericks and Sessegnon. I don't have an issue with Sessegnon at left back at all. If I had the choice during the summer, let Sessegnon go for 15, 20 million or keep him alone, then I think I would have gone the route the club have gone. So those two as fullbacks, Ream and Callis as centre-backs, McDonald, Kearney and Johansson as their three midfielders. The two wide guys, I think Aluko, he was very impressive last week, and I'm glad all the rumours about him moving have hopefully disappeared, despite the Reading manager's comments during the week. And the choice between Aiti and Cabano, I would always go with Aiti. Cabano for me blows hot and cold, and if anything, is probably a better sub. So I would go with those two wide, and then up top, I would go with Kamara. Let's see what he can do. My fingers are crossed he's going to be like Saha against Crewe in 2000, where this guy came from nowhere and suddenly we're amazed. I don't think it will be like that, but he's here as the main striker. Let's get him on the pitch. So that would be my lineup tomorrow.
Okay, excellent, Mike. Before we go to predictions, I just want to go back to you because you talked about Aluko. I should have asked you about this earlier. What are your thoughts about the comments from Stam? I'm one that thinks that he should not be talking about other players, and that's just me. Well, what are your thoughts about that? It actually brought me back to Rennie Muhlenstein did that with a player, and I didn't agree when he did that. What are your thoughts about managers talking about other players that are under contract with another team? I don't think you should be doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I really think that the Football League, the FA, should clamp down on, well, in some ways it's the press's fault as well. They shouldn't be asking the questions about individuals. And managers, they should be sanctioned in some way. You know, you should not be allowed to talk about a player by name who is at another club.
Absolutely.
Even if you have made an offer, even if you're in discussions, it should be the press person in the office, in the room with the manager or the coach, whoever, should be there saying no comment. We're not going to talk. And that goes, but I don't want my manager talking about other players, and certainly exactly. Don't want other teams. And we all know who's the main man for this, and that's Harry, isn't it? And it all comes from him in some ways. He's got away with it for years. So people like Stam, have seen that, and they're just doing the same. It just unsettles everyone. So absolutely the wrong thing that a manager should be saying. We just have to, and what would happen then, of course, is, you'd have hidden things like, well, yes, the striker we're after at the other London club is, all that kind of rubbish. But naming players, you should just not be doing that.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. That's why I wanted to bring it up, Mike. And it really bothered me when I saw all that. It's like, just, you should not be doing that. You can talk in general terms, but you should not be naming the player. You should not do that. And he did it. And I'll remember that. And if someone else does it, I'm going to bring it up again, because I just don't think it's right that you do that. Okay, Mike, what's your prediction for this match?
I'm going to go with a 3-1 victory. And I think the history backs us on this one. We always do fairly well against Norwich, so I don't see any reason for that to change. And I'm not going to say it's going to be easy, but I do see us running out 3-1.
Okay, very good. All right, Mike, I wrote down this, so I guess you could say great minds think alike. I predict 3-1 as well. I don't see a clean sheet, but I do see us winning this match. Norwich City, new manager, dealing with some injuries, new team. I think this is a wonderful opportunity for Fulham. I'm going to be able to see it. It's going to be on ESPN3. I'm very excited about that. So I'll actually be able to watch it on my TV. Fantastic news for me. So I'm looking forward to it, and I'm going with a 3-1 victory. All right. Fantastic show, Mike. Thank you very much for doing this with me. But before we go, final thoughts?
I just really enjoyed the show. Good to be talking about football and Fulham again. And start the season with optimism, and so we should be. Yes, there's questions marks over a couple of positions, but I go back to what I said at the beginning of the show. We have 95% of the same squad that did so well last year. So, onwards and upwards for us, and let's hope we can get the 3 points tomorrow.
Okay, excellent there, Mike. All right. Well, like I said, thank you so much for joining me today. It is time to go, though. For Mike Gregg, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cotter's Talk.